Good morning, everyone. Thank you for dropping by once again to take part of our Sunday morning service. Listen to the message from Chesley Community Church. Probably some of you are not regular attenders of Chesley Community Church, and we want to thank you especially for dropping by. And I would just add that right now, because of the restrictions, there's no live events going on at our church. We continue to do things on Zoom and various electronic platforms as best we can. Before we get started in the Word this morning, let's just take a moment to pray. Lord, once again, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we pray that as we share the Word this morning, that your Spirit would be very powerful in each of our minds, Lord, amplifying truth as we read it from your Word. I lift up those who would be joining us today that perhaps have heavy hearts, have needs in their heart because someone is suffering physically or emotionally, someone dealing with the anxiety of the COVID season or any other problems that may be going on in their lives. And I ask for your healing power to flow even as we're sharing this morning. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Amen. Well, there's no doubt as we march through these first weeks of 2021 that the pandemic continues to occupy our minds and to a large degree control our thoughts day to day. Most of us would admit that we long for a return to normal. And of course, we would probably define that normal as being things as they were way back in March, February of 2020. So that's probably what we naturally tend to hope for as we march through these early weeks of 2021. We hope for that return to the way things might have been early last year or even in 2019. Well, I think that the normal of 2019 that we dream fondly of is not likely to happen, at least not for quite a while, and perhaps things will never be quite the same. Many things have changed that will not instantly change back to where they were, our nation's debt being just one example. But where should we as believers be placing our hope? Should we be hoping for the old past? Or should we be anticipating and hoping for a new future? Let's consider together this morning a few verses from the book of Romans, beginning at chapter 15, verse 8, and reading through to verse 13. That's Romans chapter 8, reading through verses, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 15, reading through verses 8 to 13. I'm reading from the NLT. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to his promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. This is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name." And in another place it is written, "Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles." And yet again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth." And in another place, Isaiah said, "The heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles. They will place their hope on him." I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. And then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's some important points to consider in these words. First, the prophetic messages about the good news coming to the Gentiles have indeed been fulfilled. Jesus came. That's a historical fact. Jesus ministered to those beyond his own people, and the apostles carried his message to the Gentile nations. And many of the Gentile nations from that day until today have found forgiveness for their sins and hope for the future because of what Jesus was able to accomplish on the cross, dying for my sin and for yours. And if by chance you happen to be watching today and have yet to ask forgiveness and ask Jesus to come into your heart as your Savior, I would urge you to seriously consider that issue. It is an issue with eternal significance. And if you have any questions about that, please feel free to give us a call. So we as believers are part of that Gentile collection, and the praises and thanksgiving that we offer to God are part of that prophetic fulfillment. Jesus, the heir to David's throne, has come, and we as believers acknowledge and serve him as our king. But then Paul writes, they will place their hope on him. Well, this challenges us to think about where our hope is. Is our hope centered on that return to the old normal? Or is our hope focused squarely on the Lord and his plans for us in the future? It's a great question. It's a challenging question, and it's an important question. Please note these last few words from Paul. He makes the point that when we place our trust in him, we will overflow with confident hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know that while there are some words of hope floating around now from our newscast, to be honest, these words are not brimming with confidence. To me, these words from Paul present us with an amazing and encouraging thought. Just think about it for a moment. When we decide to place our hope and trust in him, the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and amplifies that hope. Amplifies it to the point of overflowing confidence. Well, there's an old song that begins with, I don't know about tomorrow, and that's certainly true in one sense. But in another sense, we know that God is in control and that it is quite possible, perhaps even probable, that the future he has planned for us will be considerably different from what we imagine as our old normal. Think about this. Down through the history, God has asked people and nations, for that matter, to place their hope in the plans he had made specifically for them. He asked them to hope or believe in his plans for them, not in the plans of the world around them or in their individual personal plans. We're going to look at some examples this morning and look for some points that we have in common with each of them. First, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, that's Hebrews 11, 7, we read this. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. Some important things to note here. First, God had a plan for Noah and Noah's world. Not everything about God's plan may be to our liking with our humid, limited understanding. We just don't have the big picture. I would think that Noah was probably not all that excited about spending a big part of his life building a boat and surviving a worldwide flood. Noah's world had become a totally corrupt and sinful place. A lot of human life was about to be lost. A lot of animal life was about to be lost. We have in this story from history a powerful reminder of how terrible sin is in the eyes of God, and how unless a solution is found, sin will eventually result in death. Secondly, God's plans are often not instantly revealed and executed in a short interval. Imagine, Noah's building a huge boat for a flood. He might well have asked God, what's a flood? One had never happened before. And while the exact length of time to build the ark is not revealed in Scripture, we know from various dates for events surrounding the flood that it took many years. Note thirdly, the word says by faith Noah obeyed. Even though the details of God's plan for the future were not clear, even though year after year passed with no sign of the coming flood, Noah placed his hope and faith in God's plans for the future. Fourthly, note that Noah's future was considerably different from the past. The world he knew, his old normal, was gone forever. God called him to embrace a new future. For our next example, Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 8. That's Hebrews 11, 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. So you'll notice instantly here there are some similarities with the story of Noah. God had plans for Abraham that were not Abraham's personal plans. Now imagine yourself being asked by God to pick up your loved ones and just head off into the wilderness. The word says clearly that he didn't know where he was going. What about food? What about water? Lots of pretty important but apparently unanswered questions. Abraham knew that his future was going to be significantly different than the past. But in spite of all those huge questions, Abraham obeys. He places his faith and hope in God's plans for his future. And once again, the revelation of God's plans for Abraham and the fulfillment of those plans takes considerable time. Many years would pass before God's plan for Abraham would be completely fulfilled. And in the meantime, it doesn't sound like Abraham was enjoying an exciting, comfortable adventure, unless you like living indefinitely in tents in the wilderness. But note that last sentence. Abraham was confidently looking forward. Kind of points back to the verses we read earlier, brimming with confident hope. This is the challenge for us, isn't it? Where is our hope? Is it focused on our longing for yesteryear? Or are we confidently looking forward, anticipating what God may be up to in our future? Now let's look at one more example. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 24, we read this. That's Hebrews 11, 24. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Moses grew up in a very privileged position in Pharaoh's house. His future looked pretty bright from a human perspective. But then he chooses to defend one of his brethren. And the attempted rescue gets out of hand. He kills the aggressor and escapes to the desert. Eventually he marries there and apparently is living a comfortable life. But God has a different plan for Moses. He calls him to lead his people out of Israel. And he responds by focusing on God's plans. I'm sure that in those early days, Moses, like Noah and Abraham, didn't know exactly what lay ahead and when all of it would come to fruition. But in spite of that, Moses chooses to put his hope in God's plans for the future. And there are two phrases from this example I want you to note carefully. The first one is, he was looking ahead to his great reward. And the second is that last sentence, he kept on going because he kept his eyes on the invisible. Moses, like Noah and Abraham, forsook the past and their old normal, instead focused on their hope and trust in God's future. They were looking ahead to their great reward. And we're not going to take time to explore on the point here, but God does have rewards for those who choose to accept his plans for their lives and commit to following him. Now, unfortunately, the story of the Exodus also contains a sad chapter. A sad chapter, sad story of rebellion against God's plans and unfortunately death for many. In Numbers, that's Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 to 6. Numbers 21, 4 to 6. We read this. Then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people grew impatient with the long journey, and they began to speak against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness? They complained. There's nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this horrible manna. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. You see, the people lost their focus on the future because of the temporary hardship. They began to focus instead on what used to be, and probably long for a return to their idea of normal, even though that was a life of slavery and bondage. So if we think about these accounts of Old Testament heroes, we have considerable in common with them. First, here we are in 2021, we have no clarity on what God has planned for us in the future. And I believe that this is true on at least three levels. The first level is His plans for this nation and our culture. Given the moral direction of our country, we can only pray for mercy when we see what became of sinful societies in the past. Our moral values here have declined to at least an equivalent of the most sinful Old Testament nations. Given our moral standards, we can only cry for mercy. On a second level, we probably don't have clarity on His plans for us as individual believers. Like the stories we have studied this morning, sometimes it's just a case of being faithful day to day on our journey, believing and trusting in the Lord's plan for the future, even though the details of the plan may be obscure. As we saw in our examples, in many cases it takes considerable time to pass before God's direction and His plans come clear. Thirdly, we don't have clarity on what His plans are for us as Chesley Community Church. I certainly don't have clarity on where He wants us to be and when He wants to be there. I may have some ideas, some thoughts, but in terms of precision, in terms of clarity, I don't simply have that. But I do believe that our future will be different. And I do believe that we need to place our hope and our faith in our God and in His plans for this ministry. And I believe that each one of us that calls this church home should be actively thinking about obedience, listening to the Lord's voice, listening to Him reveal where we fit into His plans for this ministry. And here's the important question. Will we continue to hope for the old normal of the past, or are you and I prepared to keep on going ahead, keeping our eyes on the invisible, like we read just a few minutes ago? I've been reading words of wisdom from various pundits who are trying to analyze what's happening to the church in this pandemic and what the future will look like for the church in general. One of the things that I felt strongly about when I came here almost 4 years ago is that this church needed to become the place where it's at. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, I dream of a place where the community realizes that there are lots of good things happening here. A place where a good part of the community are engaged in some way or another in things that are happening here. Not just our own events where we share and carry our mandate to share the good news, which is our ultimate goal, but activities which are helpful to the community at large. One of the authors that I just mentioned believes that the church has a long way to go in becoming connected with and even integrated with the community. But he believes that that integration with the community is absolutely essential if we're going to have dialogue with these people about the way of salvation. It's one of the rare ways that we have these days to connect with people who have yet to hear about Jesus. This author talks about churches perhaps needing to retrofit their building to be able to serve their community more effectively. And as you think about some of the traditional church buildings around that have been built maybe 100 years ago, you can imagine how difficult it is to serve community type events in that kind of a structure. But as I read about this, I thought of the Lord's blessing with respect to our facility. We can accommodate a wide variety of activities without any major renovations or expenditures. There's no end to dreaming big about how we might serve in amazing ways. And we have come a long way. Our church has become at least partially a place where it is at, thanks to the thrift shop, the art room, our lunch offering, children's programs, the Salvation Army food bank that we host here, and other activities that I've probably forgot to mention that find their home here. As I thought about this, I was reminded of another key question from the story of Moses. It's a key question for all of us. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 2, we simply read these words, "Then the Lord asked him, 'What is that in your hand?'" There's no doubt that God has placed something in everyone's hands. In Moses' case, a simple shepherd's staff. A simple staff that with God's help worked miracles. God has placed our amazing facility in our hands. Imagine for a moment what could be done if we as a church committed to His plans for the future. Imagine what you could do personally as you commit to continuing to serve in whatever the new normal may bring. Imagine what could be done if we collectively commit to pressing ahead into the future, keeping our eyes on the invisible. What has God placed in your hands? It's a great question. And the next question is even more challenging. What are you committed to do with it? It is true, we don't know about the future, but we know who will hold our hand if we're ready to go with Him. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank You that our future is in Your hands. And despite what's all happening around us, despite the uncertainty, despite the lack of confident words of hope, our hope is in You, Lord. Our future may not be comfortable. We recognize that. The future for many of the Old Testament believers, many of the New Testament apostles, was not particularly comfortable. But they went where You called them to go. And so we pray as we continue to think about what might be happening a few weeks down the road, a few months down the road, that You will continue to reveal Your plans for us as individuals, reveal Your plans for us as a church. And God, help us. Enable us by Your power, Lord, to make our commitment to serve in whatever way You call us to serve. We thank You and we bless Your holy name. Amen. Well, thank you once again for joining us this Sunday. And have a great week. May God bless you as you serve Him throughout the week. We look forward to seeing you again next Sunday morning. God bless.